that realization deepens, you will see that that which was never born could never have suffered the various human sufferings that you think you have suffered. That which was never born could never have smallpox or malaria or mumps or tuberculosis. That which was never born could never have a common cold or the measles. It could never have polio. It could never have cystic fibrosis. It never really needed a heart operation. That which was not born does not have existence. And whatever happened to the false existence never happened to the reality of your being. That was your dual self, presented through a false human consciousness by an irresistible, universal world mind, imitating to the best of its limited ability the divine image and likeness which you truly are. This is the return to your Father's house that you must make in consciousness. This change in consciousness, and as you climb up to this altitude of consciousness, you will discover that you can look at all of the diseases that the world has to offer and know the unreality of them. Then you can look out and know the truth of what you would call your child. This too is a realization that this so-called child must come to. And that is why there are parents and grandparents, so that they may come to the realization within themselves of the truth. And then, as Jesus helped a little girl over this hurdle from death into the realization of Christhood, that is the function of the enlightened on this earth, to take the little children and suffer them to come to the Christ. Suffer them to come unto me, and I am the Christ of their own being within themselves. This is the truth of them. Suffer these little children to come unto Christhood. Don't hold them in bondage to the concepts of a parent or a grandparent. Realize their identity by first realizing your own identity. Unbirth yourself from humanhood and give yourself the immaculate conception which Mary gave to Jesus. Conceive yourself immaculately by releasing the false human consciousness. Stand in the light and then release the false belief that you, the infinite light of the Father, could give birth to a human being. And in that moment, we are in the virgin birth, the virgin consciousness, and we are honoring our Father supremely. Now that's the part we had to know today. We'll review it later. It's the part that is very difficult to teach to those who have had no preparation whatsoever. It would be meaningless. And it would even be meaningless today if it were a talk, instead of something we can feel deep down inside. For this is just the first seed of this. For in you the seed must grow and grow and grow until you, in your own silence, practicing daily, die to the false concept that you may be born to the truth. And when the truth breaks upon you, lo, a child is born. The true birth, the immaculate conception of your own true being, your own true consciousness, which will then make all things new. For then you will know, I am the living child of God, the living spirit, and in me is no darkness at all. Now let's see what the second half brings, but let's just have a little silence for a second, and then after that we're going to have about 5 or 10 minutes just to feel more of the spirit, and then resume and see what that brings. In the healing of children, usually the request comes from a distance. By that I mean is, it isn't like somebody bringing a child to your house and saying, heal him. It's usually an emergency, and they usually phone and they say, my child has the flu or asthma or whatever the condition seems to them to be. And they expect a healing, even though you've never seen the child, wouldn't know it if you passed it on the street, and even though you really haven't the slightest idea what's wrong with the child, their diagnosis may not be correct, usually isn't. Even medical diagnoses are incorrect 50% of the time. And so we work in this healing of children without a knowledge of what is wrong in the physical world. We couldn't tell you that the child has something wrong in this chamber of the heart as against that chamber, or this chamber of the brain as against that chamber. But we can tell you this, that that child is not what the world thinks it is. And then there are times when you discover that the healing is taken completely out of your hands. And something happens which shows you the difference between my kingdom and this world. Now, when you say my kingdom, you're talking of that creation which exists in divine mind. And when Jesus revealed there is another imitative creation called this world, he was speaking of this human world with its human people which exists in the mortal mind. And because we live in this mortal mind as this world, we must make our transition from mortal mind to divine mind, from this world to my kingdom. And this is something that must happen in consciousness, suddenly breaking the cord, the continuity from the world belief through my individual mind, my individual consciousness, into my body. Until that happens, you never realize that your body is not controlled by your mind, but by world belief coming through your mind. And even when something happens unlikely and unknown to you, something you cannot even understand, you still then do not know that you have been freed from a world belief. Now, when something happened to me once, I really didn't know what happened. And I think I understand it today much better than I ever did when it happened and thereafter. It's this event when the child in a coma, hit by the car, is given up as dead or dying. Now, I was not Jesus. You might say that I was just a normal person. I didn't have the background or the experiences, at least I wasn't aware of them. And the child was dying. And the mother said, help us. The doctor says he's dying. Now, is that any different than the scene in the Bible? You see, I never thought of it that way before. But I can tell you this, I knew nothing about what to do, absolutely nothing. I was as helpless as the mother. But something switched off, and I didn't realize what switched off at the time. It was the connection between world belief and my mind, which was broken, not by me. I had nothing to do with breaking it. It was simply broken. And when it was broken, something else took its place. And that something that took its place was the Christ. It came on where the other had been switched off. And it came to one who knew nothing about these things. It only happened 4 years ago. And the Christ spoke, because the human mind, for that moment, had a tourniquet pressed against it so that it was unable to think. To put it in different language, the woman's call to me paralyzed my mind. I just stood there dumbfounded. My mind couldn't think. And that was like a tourniquet. And because my mind couldn't think, because it was paralyzed, world belief, which would have come through, couldn't come through. And that broke the continuity of world belief for the mother and for the child. And the Christ spoke, and it said, I am here. And I had never heard it speak quite that way. In fact, I'd hardly heard it speak but a few times before that, maybe 10 times. I am here. I am the life of this child, and I am not dying. And though I didn't understand the meaning of the words, I knew they were true. And from that moment on, I had a changed consciousness about that boy. I did not believe that boy would die, because something had said, I am the Christ of this boy and I am not dying. And even though I didn't know what that meant, it meant that that boy wasn't going to die as far as I was concerned. What I'm telling you today is what happened. That world belief had no channel through my paralyzed mind. And that was my introduction to a great experience, because the boy didn't die. And the same experience with the same boy repeated, because now it was supposed to have amnesia. I didn't even have to hear the voice again to tell the mother that was impossible, because there was a strength and an authority in that Christ voice which told me if it wasn't going to die, it wasn't going to have amnesia either. And so it didn't have amnesia either. And again, the same boy, 16 months later, epilepsy. And again, the same Christ speaking, saying, I am perfect. And then I can't remember whether it was the voice or just a realization telling me that within 5 days the boy would be delivered from the hospital free of epilepsy. And so it was in 5 days. Again, what had been broken was the continuity of the world belief, which is impersonal and universal, and was coming through a mother's mind and a child's mind, and was now being presented to me, the very same world belief, to maintain its continuity. And because the Christ spoke instead, that world belief in its chain of continuity was broken. I had no human mind at that moment to hear it, to believe it, to perpetuate it. And this was the Christ realization in me, becoming the Christ realization, expressing as the perfection of the life of that child. Now, what part did the mother have in this? She learned that there is a power in that child, and before this child finally came out and walked, she learned to look at that child as the Christ. She was taught to look at that child as the Christ. She was part of the treatment. As I behold the Christ of your child, be sure not to waver for a moment, for if you waver, you will be hurting that child. You must, from this moment on, behold the Christ of your child. If you do nothing else, can you do it? Yes, I can, she said. I can. And so she was brought into this. The treatment was to see the Christ of her own child, to bear true witness. Now, why can't we do that for ourselves? If we can do it for our child. Now, when it happened, and I didn't really understand it, now I understand it. But you see, the understanding isn't what makes it happen. That happened without my understanding. It just happened. But now, understanding it, we can see that there was something being taught there, something that has to be sought for in consciousness. And that is that behind the visible material world that we call this human being and that human being is the same invisible Christ present, always perfect, always showing forth the full glory of the Father. And at this level, this fourth dimensional level, we break the hypnotism of world belief functioning through a truly non-existent human mind. Now that is why in healing children, because the child, up to the age of, say, 12, is still the consciousness of the parent. In healing children, it is necessary to win the cooperation of the parent. That parent is a vital part of the healing. That parent has in belief a false awareness of her own child. And that belief must be corrected. And that belief is corrected by you knowing the truth of that child, knowing the truth of yourself, and resting in the invisible Christ to manifest as the perfection of that child. Now we had grandparents call announcing that the birth they expected at a certain day was happening now. There was a panic. There was a premature birth coming on. And they were very certain that this would be a great cause of disaster. They were just flowing all over the place, flying hither and yon. Wait a minute. Slow down. What's happening? And then a realization of the ever-presence of the Christ, the ever-presence of the Father as the Christ of the individual we think is going through a premature birthing. Who is this mother giving birth? A physical form? Then you might have a problem. But is this not the very spirit of the Father? Is the child coming forth into appearance not truly the very spirit of the Father? Where did God go? And you see, beginning to realize in these moments of crisis that all matter is mortal mind formed into appearance, we begin to see the deception that we have accepted as reality. All matter is mortal mind formed, and Jesus slowly showed us first the unreality of the false brain, and then the unreality of the false body that the false brain outpictures, and then the unreality of the false experiences of the false body, and then the unreality of the false material things that it sees and touches and accepts. And slowly through his ministry, the false brain, the false body, the false matter, the false substances, the false life, and finally the ultimate false death of that which never existed. Quite a change in consciousness for us. Now, every disease of a child then is occurring in a false body. Which body is occurring in a false mind? Which false mind is occurring in a false universal mind? And so actually you've got a series of dishes, one going into the other. One dish larger and one smaller and one smaller and one smaller. You get from the large dish, the universal mortal mind, down to the small dish, the human being, and then its human experiences. And this whole nest of dishes is this world. Starting from invisible universal mind to visible physical form, all of it, the lie about the divine image and likeness of God, the invisible Christ, yourself. Now you can come into this at any phase of it, catching the false body or the false brain or the false experience or the false objects. But ultimately you've got to come to the point where none of this can be controlled by you, as long as you accept any of it as real. Your only control is to reach a point of a willingness to apply the tourniquet to the false brain, to the false consciousness which develops there, and to stand in this false consciousness, slowly letting it be transmuted into a total dying, into a total dropping away, so that you reach a point where even this is not enough, where you're to the point of saying, I don't see what this world is for. Why do I want any part of it? Why am I here? Even that you must drop away. The you that still says that I don't want any part of this world must drop away. There must be a complete crucifixion of the human ego. The ego must be totally dropped until there is no ego whatsoever. There mustn't be a you to like or dislike, to praise or to complain. The total you must go. And because we think we can get by with a three-quarter crucifixion, or a 5/8 or a 1/2, we don't make it. The total crucifixion must come. The total belief in all human birth must come as a falsehood. And when I am nothing, I am released from the false human consciousness, and then I can feel the descent of the Spirit. That which is above begins to flow into consciousness, forming itself within me as the living Christ. The false life that I gave up is the beginning of the eternal self that never can change, slowly flowing into realization. That is why every disease of a child on this earth is curable. Because it occurs first in the universal false mind of the world as a non-truth, a non-reality, a non-existence, an imitation of reality. Then it flows slowly into forming human minds. Then it flows through the human minds, the containers, and becomes form. And then it continues flowing through the human minds it has created into the forms it has created, and appears as the problems in those forms. And this continuity of the lie can be broken, as it is broken to the extent that you are in the consciousness of reality. To that extent, the consciousness of the lie dissolves itself. The child who ran across the street and hit by the car is brought back to consciousness. The child that was prematurely birthed is escorted through that experience into a whole physical form, because all that is there is the invisible Christ. All that was there when a child ran across the street to be hit by the car was the invisible Christ. World belief has painted a panorama of forms and things and activities, all of which are the continuity of a dream released through many minds, many false minds, all part of the same dream, and now they too individually have the dream. And each modifies the one dream into many dreams, and the many dreams parade with all of the false experiences of a dream, little knowing that behind it all, I am the one self, ever perfect, ever eternal, the righteous one. Now you're looking at your new consciousness, too pure to behold iniquity, without opposites, able to look at a child in disease or pain or suffering or lack or limitation of any kind, and to come up over that form, up over your own human consciousness, crucifying it, that the child may be resurrected, laying down your life, your sense of humanhood, that the child may walk in a form that is not torn by misbelief. The child gains, but so do you. You begin to walk no longer in world belief. It can't move you across the street in front of a car. That you is not responding. The new you is your true soul form, which is completely independent of world belief. The impulse that might have sent your body walking across the street as a car came, that impulse does not reach your soul body. And your physical form is no longer subjected to this human impulse, because instead of living now as brain and body, subject to world mind, you are now living as soul and soul body, subject to divine mind. And while you live as soul and soul body, subject to divine mind, you have made the transition from this world to my kingdom. And all of the evils that come through world belief cannot come nigh thy dwelling. And yet to the world, there you are in a physical form. You have made a transition from physical form to soul form, and no one in the world will know it. No one. Who knew it about Joel? Who knew it about Jesus? He had made a total transition from world form, from human form, to soul form. It tells us when he completed his healing of the girl, bringing her forth again from what had appeared to be death, that he didn't leave so that the crowds could find him. Now, how do you think he left? He just disappeared from human form back into soul form and walked right through them, unseen. The soul form has the ability to do that. It can appear outwardly as a human form, as Jesus appeared. Now, when you come into the realization of your soul form, you will be aware that from that moment forth, you are not in the dimension where disease exists. You're not in the dimension where death exists. You're not in the dimension where this world can lodge its good or its evil into your being. And yet you will have a physical form. And that physical form will be the world's concept of your soul form. Now, while you are looking at the world today, you are forming a physical concept of the soul form of each individual you're looking at. Just as they are forming a physical concept of your soul form. The only difference is that you will soon come to the realization of your soul form. And then when you have it, you will look out at their physical forms with the realization of their soul form. You will see a beggar. You will see a blind man. You will see a sick child. But your soul form, your soul awareness will be saying, "Maid, arise, pick up thy bed, little lamb," because you will be seeing that which is not world belief. You will be seeing from the consciousness of reality. And you will see the whole being. Even while your eyes see the physical form, for Jesus too saw physical forms. He saw a cripple. He saw blind people. He saw lepers. But he saw in more dimensions than just the blind, the cripple, and the lame. He saw the full dimension. He saw with the Christ vision at the same time, so that the physical vision could not penetrate the Christ consciousness to declare the lie. And that is the meaning then of coming into the new dimension. You do not lose your vision of humanhood, but you simply do not accept it. You see it and see through it at the same time. While your Christ awareness, which you have worked for by dying to human consciousness, this keeps you in a one flowing spiritual selfhood that walks free of the evils of this earth, because the evils of this earth have no reality to the reality of you. theoretically, we can heal 100% of the children's diseases of this world. Actually, we can heal as many as we have the Christ consciousness to heal. Now we may be lifted into the Christ consciousness for this one and find that when another one comes, we don't rise that high. And so it's really we who have to be healed. We have to be healed of humanhood in order to heal a child of sickness, disease, problems. And as long as the child who comes to us isn't healed, there is that degree of humanhood in us which is the barrier. But again, theoretically, if we will take the time, the effort, the dedication to let the Father's will be done, we will discover a strange, marvelous power which will function independent of us, through us. Now there's a little detail here which isn't really very little, but which is great, but so subtle that it's overlooked. In your effort to find this great flowing Christ of yourself, you have reached many points of mental activity which you finally realize are not sufficient. And then, as you seem to cross over from mental activity to something else, there may be a great no man's land ahead of you and there's no ability to cross it. You don't know where it is or what it is or how to get across it. You're just really stymied. And at this point, I find there is something you can do about that. The mind may be saying, this is not for me, or it is, but I don't know what to do. At this point, you have to come to something else. And it is this realization. I must drop my desire to cross this no man's land. I must drop my desire to understand. I must drop every desire that I have to even be the Christ. I must drop it. I must drop every human desire, and I must come to one final desire. And this may seem unimportant to you at this time, but if you will remember it, there will come a time when it will prove to you to be the only way. I must drop every human desire except one. And this is how you come into alignment. That one desire that I must have is that the Father's desire be in me. That's my only desire. And as you do that, as you accept that the only desire I have is that the Father's desire be in me, that final remnant of the ego is gone. You can almost feel something slide into place. I desire only thy desire, Father, in me. I have no other. And now it is thy desire alone. And you see, at that moment, you've taken all human hands off. You have no control over the desire of God. You can't direct it, manipulate it, or influence it in any way. You can't channel it. You can only now be a total nothing. If your sincerity is for the desire of God in you, nothing you can do now except be, for that desire of the Father cannot be functioned except by the Father. And that is the final annihilation of the ego. The Father's will, the Father's desire now functions in the total desirelessness of you. And you find new strength from sources unknown, from infinite sources, beyond all capacity of the mind to imagine. They come, they flow. It is the Father's desire expressing in you. And now the old you, you see, is gone. All there is that you are is now the desire of the Father expressing. That is you. And as long as you can keep hands off, that desire will express in its own way. And as long as you can trust the desire of the Father in you, you will remain in a state of desirelessness, without will, without thought, without idea, without purpose, other than to be that which is the desire of the Father functioning as you. This brings you slowly into the kingdom where the human mind has been overcome. Why do we wait for children to have diseases when we know that they are the Christ? Why do we wait to teach children the truth when it is God's will that they be what they are, the Christ? What difference is it if the child is 1 year old and can't understand a word you can say? Did not Mary know the truth before Jesus could speak? Was she not teaching him the truth by knowing the truth? Was she not seeing that this is not a new life but an old soul? Isn't that our responsibility to the world? That each one we look at in the mask of flesh is really an old soul. Can we not greet them, the old soul that stands there, rather than the mask of the flesh? Is this not the living in him, dwelling in him, abiding in him? Is this not the way to Christhood? And as we begin to do this, are we not releasing the child from diseases they will never see? False diseases that need not come within that province of that child's experience if we can be the living light? Can we not extend this beyond our child, to his child, to her child, to the children of God on earth? And as we do that, are we not finding our own freedom in Christ? Unlimited, without boundaries, without forms to plow through. You see how much deeper it is than healing a child's disease? It is living the divine life while in the flesh. Now, truthfully, if you behold me as a murderer or a thief, I cannot live as purely as if you behold me as the Christ. For that in which you behold me helps me. And as I behold you as a murderer or a thief, you have that much more to overcome. But if I behold you as the Christ, you have that much less to overcome. And so as we behold the Christ in others, lifting them, where they are in turn enabled to turn right around and behold the Christ in us, lifting us. And so you understand why each of us is truly an important link in this chain of light. Every child that you behold as the Christ is releasing you, is glorifying your Father. Now, we all have children in our families in one way or another, either closely or around the corner or in another city. And then we can go further and see that the child of God is all that really walks this earth. It is without diseases. It never goes to war. It is never going to kill or be killed. To know that child is to know ourselves, because we are that child. To heal the real diseases, you must know you are the child of God, in whom there are no diseases, and that you are infinite being, and that wherever you are looking is the invisible child of God, which we all are, without disease. In our true being, there is no disease to be cured. In this consciousness, we are a healing influence to those who come to us. In this consciousness, we ourselves are slowly being transmuted from that which is not mortal, subject to death, into the realization that I have ever been a life that is the life of the Father. Not only was I not born 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 years ago, but just as I was not born this time, I was not born any time. I am above reincarnation. That which was never born could never reincarnate, and I have not had 2,000 or 5,000 lives at all. I've had 2,000 or 5,000 false concepts called lives. But the I that I am was never born, never died, never reincarnated, and never will, for it is the eternal self. And every day I must die to the false self to be born anew to that which I am, the Christ, the living Son of the Father, without blemish. Again and again you'll have to go into this, into it, and then you know you'll come out of it, back into your human consciousness. But always as you come back in, prepare yourself for that re-entry, so that as you come back in, something even vaguely in you says, but this isn't me, I am the living spirit of the Father. And as you go about brushing your teeth and going to the grocery store and feeding the flesh, remember, this is just my re-entry into the false consciousness. Hold that spot open that knows who I am, and frequently rise up into reality, always remembering when you re-enter this consciousness again, who you are. When you wake up in the morning, having re-entered this consciousness, plant a seed before you go to sleep that upon re-entry, just as you might set an alarm clock, set the thought in consciousness. When I awaken, I will readjust to my truth, my reality, and then go about my Father's business, for His desire in me is all that I desire. And you will see how His desire in you keeps you riveted to the rhythm of the Father. Soon you'll be going out of the false consciousness and coming into it more frequently, in and out, until you won't know if you're in it or out of it. You'll wonder, where am I now? Am I in or am I out? And finally, there will be no in and no out. There will just be the one consciousness. The fetters, the forms, the boundaries will disappear. The one will stand forth realized. Now today you may say to yourself, I know the reality of each individual on the face of the earth. And all of these who are here now were those who were here before. Come back again and again and again and again. All old souls. And a little child of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 15. They're just as old as everyone else, each is the one self. I'm going to start knowing that they are all souls. See what a difference it makes in the way you talk to them, treat them. See what a difference it makes in the birth of Christ realization in you. For as you regard the world of individuals as old souls, you can sow to the old soul or to the flesh. Choose ye this day. Will you sow to the spirit of that child, the old soul that is there, or will you sow to the new form, the mind which is newly developed and thinks it wants gum or taffy, or will you be speaking to the Christ? Jesus phrased it this way. To many a person he had witnessed into truth. You have believed, so it is unto you. The centurion believed. The nobleman believed. They had no spiritual understanding, but they believed. The woman who rushed through the crowd, why, in fact, Jairus' healing. The daughter of Jairus was healed. First, Jairus approached him, and before he even got to the house, before he could even depart, a woman rushed up and touched him. Why did this happen in the middle of a healing? To show that there had to be a purification. She was healed of an issue of blood, and then he went on to heal the daughter of Jairus. You see the meaning there? She believed. She was scorned by the world. She was trodden underfoot. She had come to live with this belief that she was nobody. And yet, in spite of being nobody in the eyes of people, scorned, an outcast, she had a sense that love doesn't look at a person's form. That love looks through the form at something in her that was flaming. And she was willing to be scorned and to rush to the Master and ask for help. And this belief in her was a feeling in the impersonal truth of God, which instantly drew out of him his virtue, as he put it. I feel the virtue drawn out of me. It was her belief in the reality of her own existence coming through. And then, although this was her healing, and later the child was healed, he's really showing what must happen in your consciousness. There must be the belief in reality. What do you believe? Do you believe the child is sick? So be it, she is sick. Do you believe sickness is possible in the Christ? So be it, she will not be sick. Your belief, your faith has made you whole, he said to her, and later he said to the centurion, as you believe, so it is. To the nobleman, he could feel the man's belief that the Christ could show forth his son as healed. Now then, what do you believe? You're going to find the issues of life all take place right there. What do you believe? Do you believe sickness is real? Do you believe death is real? Do you believe human life is real? For what you believe is what you will experience. And don't go any further to look for your solutions to this world's problems. Just examine your beliefs. And if you find that you have a belief that tomorrow your child can be sick, you have not reached the point where you desire only the desire of God in you. You haven't made that step. You see, you can heal children's diseases to such a degree that the diseases never appear. You heal them in consciousness by being one with the Father. You must frankly analyze your own beliefs. And if you find the remnant of belief in you that anything unlike God can exist, then you can see what you have to do. Your beliefs are going to externalize as the consciousness of that child. And you may as well face it. Everything that child suffers is nothing but an outpicturing of your own consciousness. That's if you're the parent. Everything that child suffers is an outpicturing of the parent's consciousness. Because that parent has not applied the tourniquet. And so all of the world beliefs are coming through that parent, manifesting as that child's problems. Forget all this business about the child's past lives and the debt it must pay and its karma. That parent can stop it. That parent with a pure consciousness of truth stops it. And by the parent not stopping it, the parent is not being a divine parent. Now work with your beliefs. Find what you really believe. And you'll discover that all of the problems you ever had are nothing but your own beliefs externalized. You didn't know, perhaps, that you had those beliefs, but the fact that you experienced these problems should eventually awaken you to the fact that those problems are nothing but your beliefs wearing forms. These beliefs are so subtle and inbred that you never notice them until they come out in a form. Now, where did you get those beliefs? God didn't give them to you. You got them from the world mind. When? In any one of your 5,000 human lives, or 10,000 human lives, or 5 million lives, you got them as an accumulation of lives in which you did not know yourself. And there they are, a complete roster of beliefs, some of which you're not even aware of, most of which you're not aware of. And all the while you're looking out here and blaming the world for this and that. Change your beliefs. Change your beliefs and watch your world change. Closely hold to those beliefs that you know to be truth until those which you know to be the lie have departed, and that changed consciousness is the tourniquet which prevents world belief from using you for a punching bag. And then teach that to the children. Teach it to them with your mouth. Teach it to them with your consciousness. Teach it to them with your silent belief. Teach it to them with your refusal to accept the appearances. And you'll heal more diseases than ever appear in a child's life. You'll heal diseases unknown. Diseases that will not reach that child's experience because you have let the Spirit go before you to make the crooked diseases straight. Do you see we're getting in deep, deep, deep and high? Now, we have been told that the child coming through is its own self manifesting, that the child has really picked a parent. Let us see the full picture. Yes, the child has picked the parent. But really, mortal belief is still the boss there. And behind mortal belief is divine mind insisting that each soul be perfected, that each soul overcome the illusion of flesh. Now, just as you were important to the child, so is the child important to you. Just as the child needed you, you have needed the child. Each needs the other. Each is contributing to the other's experience of eventual freedom. You needed the child so that you could, in your desire to find the Christ of that child, find the Christ of yourself. Now, I really think that today's class is the class of the four healing classes. We have a good one next week, but I won't be speaking this way next week. I'm quite sure that our audience won't permit me to speak this way. It will be important, but of a different nature. This class is Spirit's way of bringing us to a point which would enable us to make a big step, to shake loose the false ego which perpetuates the human life. It comes under the heading of a class in healing children's diseases, and its message is, you break the false ego that has chained you to humanhood. Work at it. Now, death is not what we have thought it to be at all. Death is the moment when the world mind can no longer sustain the form that it has created through your human mind. When the world mind can no longer sustain your form, you die. Transition is when the world mind no longer can sustain your form, but you have already made the transition to the soul form. And so when the body dies, the soul form maintains its life, which has been realized by you. The earthworm is no more, the butterfly is free. The mask is lifted. The soul form continues its journey. And if you're where you should be now, you've released yourself from the human ego, from the human mind, to something greater, which does its own work, in which you're not taking a conscious thought, but merely letting yourself go to a new consciousness without any desire to resist that which is happening.